Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Vastamai, good evening. Welcome to the programme. Your weekday news roundups are coming up before 5.30. We're going to hear more about what happens to people who use AI to create indecent images here on the Isle of Man. Also tonight, we'll hear more about Carolsgate and hear from the MHK, who claims there was a school on the island who wouldn't allow them to be sung at Christmas. We'll be talking inflation figures as well. The latest ones were out this morning. They're on the rise. We'll find out what that means for you. And the TT has announced its official charity partner for the year. All that will have the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com or you can text us. It's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Lewis Fastamai.
In the last hour, the Department of Education, Sport and Culture has confirmed that teaching staff are going to be paid for last week's snow day. It's after the Education Minister couldn't say for sure during this week's House of Keys sitting. Daphne Kane says she wants to reassure them that they will be paid, and this has always been the department's position. There's a warning over the harm being caused to some young people on the island due to the misuse of AI.
Can you imagine the emotional, the mental health harm of being that person wondering if your image is out there? Could it get out there?
That's PC Louise Kenyuk, part of the Isle of Man Constabulary's school education team, which has recently reported a sharp increase in students in and out of school creating images through artificial intelligence with the aim of bullying and ridiculing their peers, and some which could amount to sexual offences. The Salvation Army says it received 1,842 referrals for support on the Isle of Man over the Christmas period. The charity says the consistently high prices for everyday items, coupled with increases in rents and energy costs, means more and more people are relying on support. Inflation on the island increased slightly last month compared to November. It's up 0.5 percentage point to 3.3%. And the TT has announced this year's official charity partner. It's chosen to highlight the Great North Air Ambulance for the next 12 months. The latest international news. The US is pulling some troops from a major airbase in Qatar after Iran threatened revenge if America launches an attack. Donald Trump's warned on CBS of strong consequences if a crackdown on anti-government protests leads to executions. The UK Chancellor says Labour is committing in full to Northern Powerhouse Rail. Passengers should see improved connections between Sheffield, Leeds, York and Bradford, and a new line between Birmingham and Manchester. And the High Court's heard Sting's paid more than £500,000 to his former bandmate since facing legal action over unpaid royalties. Drummer Stuart Copeland and guitarist Andrew Summers are said to be owed almost three times that. Those are the headlines. We'll be back with the news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Lewis. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So outbreaks of rain to start this evening. Those might be heavy at times. It's going to clear overnight, though. Strong south-southwest winds. They'll veer southwest and ease overnight as well. Minimum temperatures will be around 4. Then tomorrow, it's going to be mainly dry, sunny intervals, just a risk of one or two isolated showers. Moderate winds, they'll become lighter for a while in the afternoon, and temperatures up to 9. And just looking ahead to Friday, bright intervals, but some scattered showers again as well. Moderate winds and temperatures again around 9 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
It is 4 minutes past 5 exactly. Now, police say the Isle of Man has very effective legislation to penalise people who are found to be using AI to create indecent images. It follows a warning that some young people have been using the technology to bully and ridicule their peers with images described as rude and offensive. So this week, the UK government and the media regulator Ofcom has targeted Grok. That's the AI chatbot available on X, formerly known as Twitter. PC Louise Kenyuk says they have had reports of this being misused over here.
We've become aware that young people are, let me say, experimenting, using, trying, whichever word you want to use, technology, but sometimes they're using it in a manner that can, is and will cause harm. And that's where we've got concerns. We've had a few examples, some that are live and ongoing, so obviously I can't comment in detail, nor would I in such an article. But we have had young people and they're using them to cause harm They might not think so, but actually it does. So we've had examples of they will take someone's picture from a social media feed, which all young people have their faces everywhere, or they'll take a picture of their friends out and about, and then they'll create something from it. Now, whilst this might be amusing in some occasions, what they're doing is they're taking it far too far. They're creating an image that is bullying, is cruel, or could be perceived as so, or actually far too far, and they're creating what we would say is an indecent image. Now, with regards to the new legislation that came in, the Sexual Offences and Obscene Publications Act of 2021, the Isle of Man here has very effective legislation to deal with this. The legislation's open for people to see themselves, and it is good, and so it should do, because we have been for many years seeing people pushing things too far, doing things that aren't right when it involves media and social media. And thankfully, we've got the legislation to deal with it. Now, when it comes to indecent images of children, anyone under 18 is classed as a child. So if we take the law to its letter, and the way I explain it to young people is this: if you're under 18, you cannot even have a picture of yourself naked on your phone. Now, I see that as being, if you can't have it yourself because you're under 18, then that says, if I don't take it, it can't be shared. It can't get out of my control, and it can't cause me or someone else harm. So that's the simple part of it.
That is PC Louise Kenyuk talking about AI images there. You can find out much more on this story on the Manx Radio website. It's 6.5 minutes past five. So the latest inflation figures have been published. They were out this morning. Christian, the lover of figures, is with me now. Christian, just tell us first, what do these figures show then?
Yeah, so they show inflation on the Isle of Man rising to 3.3% in December. That's up half a percentage point on November. It is still well below the highs that we saw in places like 2022, 2023, but it does suggest that price pressures have picked up again towards the end of last year.
Do we know then what's driving that increase?
So the biggest contributor is restaurants and hotels. Prices are 8.1% higher than a year ago. And catering costs are in particular, they're up 8.3% too. So those are the main drivers.
Are there any other areas where prices are rising more quickly?
So communication costs, those rose by 5.8%. Postage actually saw the largest increase within that category. Education is another key area. That's up almost 5% overall. Private education fees rising sharply by 9%.
And I understand everyday household costs are also something people will have an eye on. What can you tell us about those?
Yeah, so food prices, those continue to add pressure. Food, non-alcoholic drinks, they're up 4.8% over the year. Items like beef, cheese, butter and coffee, those all actually recorded notable increases. Some products like soft drinks and sugar, though, those actually fell in price.
Were there any other areas then, Christian, that helped keep inflation in check?
Yeah, so gas prices, 8% lower than a year earlier. Miscellaneous goods and services, those fell by almost 2%, both of which helped to ease the overall inflation rate.
How do housing and transport fit into the picture?
So housing-related costs, those rose 2.8% overall. Rent increased more sharply. That's up 7.2% year on year. Transport costs, those rose 3.2%. Air travel prices are increasing, but fuel costs remained relatively subdued.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. We're not joking, are we? You love these figures.
I absolutely love
them. Honestly, you wait for these reports. 8.5 minutes past five now. The Onken MHK, Julie Edge, says she has evidence in writing as to which schools stopped the words to Christmas carols being sung. It was, as we heard yesterday, the subject of a question in the House of Keys this week. And in response, the Education Minister, Daphne Kane, said her department had questioned all schools in recent days and not one of them responded to say it had imposed any such restrictions. And despite the minister repeatedly asking which school, Ms Edge would not be drawn, nor would she when we questioned her either.
It's up to the heads, but there should be, and I'm not trying to restrict the operational ability of our schools, but the minister would not commit to saying that there should be guidance and particularly induction.
But if you came out
any,
and said one school had actually said...
Let me finish.
Your case would have been a lot stronger, surely.
Well, she knows that I've heard it from one school. However, I'm very concerned about some of the language that she did use today. But with regard to
we should point out this is parliamentary language. You didn't actually use.
Anyway, that's your interpretation. But what she would not commit to was any new teachers coming to the island being inducted in the ways. And I'm not sure if there is a policy on that as to how we do portray our Christianity
in our
schools.
Are you saying the department should come out and say you have to have
No,
a
I'm
Christian
not
service.
Saying that. I'm saying guidance. Guidance and policy are two different documentation in government. But if there was guidance for anybody arriving on our island that's not necessarily been through our education system or been trained here, there is differences in the UK, and we do know that the UK does not allow the words of carols to be sung in some areas. So,
but at
so
the moment,
that's the
without
whole
evidence,
point about it.
We can say it's not the case over here.
I have the evidence, John. Please do not question whether I have evidence
or not.
We don't
know you have the evidence. So, you have the evidence.
I've said to the minister, the minister's asked me would I speak to her, and I will speak to her. I will not tell her which school, but I will tell her exactly how it's been portrayed to me, and I have it in writing.
OK, so that's the Onken MHK Julie Edge talking to John there. As I say, not being drawn on which school it was. If it was your child's school, do let us know, 166 177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. It's 11 minutes past five now, and minimum wage on the Isle of Man is set to increase from £12.25 to £13.46 in April, and it's fair to say I think it's a move that's generated a little bit of concern from businesses over here. In the House of Keys this week, we heard how government's planning to issue some kind of support, and Lewis is with me now with the details. Fastamai, Lewis. What can you tell us?
Fastamai, yes. So who we've just heard from then, actually, Onken MHK Julie Edge, she put this question to the Treasury Minister, asking whether there were any plans to issue support ahead of this rise in April and how much it was expected to cost. Alex Allenson, in response, said a targeted support package would be provided, with more details to be given in Timwald next week. What he did say is that these schemes would be designed to assist the hardest hit businesses on the island, particularly those in hospitality and retail, and any support will be time limited and designed to ease the transition rather than provide an ongoing subsidy, for example. On how much these schemes are expected to cost, he said those estimates have not yet been finalised.
And Lewis, we've mentioned it many times in recent months, but not all businesses on the island are on board with this increase in the minimum wage. Is there anything else that we've heard about that in recent days?
So today we've been hearing from the chairman of the Isle of Man Licensed Vidlers Association, the body that supports self-employed licensees in the pub trade. And it says members are already feeling the cumulative impact of rising costs day by day. We've just been hearing about the rise in inflation. Well, this also comes after the recently formed Local Economy Forum warned that current economic and policy pressures are creating significant challenges for the island's hospitality sector. So regarding minimum wage, LVA Chairman Andrew Gibbs says that while fair pay is essential, sudden changes to wage structures can make it difficult for employers to balance costs with training and workforce development. He adds that decisions which fail to consider the operational realities of hospitality businesses risk discouraging recruitment. The LVA is calling for greater engagement between government and the private sector to develop evidence-based solutions that protect jobs, support workforce development, and enable sustainable economic recovery for the island. That's what we've been hearing. And we have contacted the Isle of Man government for comments on that. But in the meantime, we wait and see what's unveiled in Timwald next week.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. And if you are a business who'd like to get in touch and speak to us, then newsroom@manxradio.com is the email address. It's 14 minutes past five.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Nothing to report on the police pages this evening. The things when it comes to roadworks in Onken, temporary lights still on Whitebridge Hill. That's 24 hours a day. In Braddon until Friday, there's that stretch of Saddle Road, which is one way at the junction with the new Castletown Road. Also, temporary lights on Cool Road. That's near the business park, 24 hours a day for work on the pavements. And near Peel, all this week, the switchback is closed for patching works. All good down at the airport. And then the Manxman and the steam packet is Manxman due in around about 20 to 6. This evening, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. Now, local authority representatives say it's unfortunate the debate into the Local Government Amendment Bill wasn't held at yesterday's Keys sitting after members ran out of time. Representatives from Peel, Arbury and Rushen, Michael and Onchan commissioners were there to hear whether MHKs would approve amendments made by Legislative Council for the controversial bill. Chair of Arbury and Rushen commissioners, Kiri Jenkins, and Peel commissioner, Sharon Lambert, said they hoped members would do the right thing.
Well, I think the local authority members that are here today, we've come down to show the members that we are taking this matter seriously. And it is unfortunate that they chose not to adjourn the earlier debate and that it will run into another session. But I think we're here to underline to members just why we think local democracy is so important and why this bill that's going through matters to not just to us as members of local authorities, but why it's important to ratepayers and what our concerns are.
Completely. They must have known that this was going to be one of the largest bills to go through that they're discussing now, and they could have slipped ours in before that, because we're going through, don't know how many clauses, but it's been going for what, since after lunch? So yeah, I do think it's gone on way too long. But what I would say with regard to the local government amendment bill, the important thing is everyone's, the sentiment is there, oh, we're not going to do that, we're not going to push those monies through. Put it in black and white in law that that's not what you're going to do. What you're going to do is actually come, not consult, actually say, look, if we hand these over and we pay you this much, would you do it? And we either agree or we don't agree. That's where it should be.
Peel Commissioner Sharon Lambert and Chair of Arbury and Rushen Commissioners Kiri Jenkins. It's 16 and a half minutes past five. A drugs trafficker who played a leading role in importing nearly £400,000 worth of drugs to the Isle of Man has been jailed. The Liverpool man's crimes included helping to arrange the delivery of cannabis in a fishing boat. Amy Griffiths has this report from BBC Isle of Man.
39-year-old Liam Dunn was found to be a facilitator in a plot to import up to £309,000 of cannabis and 98 vapes laced with THC on a boat called the Boy Shane on the 17th of November 2023. He also acted as a conduit, as up to £69,000 of heroin was concealed in a package of silicone tubes on the 17th of July that year, Douglas Courthouse heard. Jailing Dunn for 12 years, Deemster Graham Cook said, "You made the arrangements and got others to do your dirty work. You were quite high up in the organised crime group, playing a leading role." For the heroin offence, investigations found that Dunn had used a burner phone to contact Sean Milligan, who was involved on the Isle of Man, and an unknown person in Liverpool. Milligan was jailed for 11 years in February 2024, along with Frank Harrison, who received 7 years, with the parcel being addressed to him. Meanwhile, a covert operation targeting another member of the organised crime group revealed that Dunn was involved in importing cannabis and THC. It was revealed on a phone call that Dunn had driven up to Whitehaven in Cumbria to drop off a black holdall which contained the drugs and vapes to be picked up by the crew of the Boy Shane. The 33-year-old was also found to have received £139,000 in illicit bank transfers, including £83,010 from Manx residents between January 2021 and November 2023. Dunn of Burlington Street in Liverpool was arrested on the 17th of August last year as he returned to the UK from Spain, where he'd been living for 8 months. A warrant was issued and he was brought back to the island the following day. He pleaded guilty to being concerned in importing heroin, cannabis, THC and participating in a criminal organisation. Deemster Cook said that the prosecution says you are a leading figure in trafficking drugs to the Isle of Man and the removal of cash proceeds of that drug trafficking out of the island and back to the UK.
Amy Griffiths with that BBC Isle of Man report. Now, the liquidator of a failed glamping site in Port Erin says he's incredibly frustrated over what he alleges is Port Erin Commissioner's refusal to meet a potential buyer for the business. Now, the site closed during TT Practice Week last year and the operator was placed into voluntary liquidation. Craig Mitchell of Douglas-based CKM Consultants told Simon that the matter now looks to be heading for the courts, despite there being a strong offer for the business on the table with a commitment to clear all outstanding debts of the company.
It's an unusual scenario in any liquidation, certainly a voluntary liquidation, to have a situation where all creditors can be paid in full. And I've got that offer on the table, but for some reason the commissioners don't appear to wish to entertain it.
Why do you think they won't meet this potential buyer?
I'm not sure. I mean, they're aware of the individual, the offer letter. I've named the individual in the offer letter, but they've just come back and said that the board has no interest in the proposed offer and just wishes to continue seek repossession of the site.
Now, have you come across a case quite like this before as a liquidator?
It's a strange situation to have, a situation where you can have all creditors paid in full, including the commissioners themselves, and to have the commissioners say they're not willing to entertain that, and to walk away from a committed income stream going forward and to suffer costs. It is an unusual situation, I must admit.
Presumably, if the matter goes before the courts, there would be costs to the commissioners and thereby the ratepayers.
Exactly. And I've explained to them that clearly my duty is to the creditors, which would include themselves and obviously the ratepayers of Port Erin. And I can't just acquiesce with a forfeiture of a lease when I've got an offer on the table, which means every creditor will be paid in full.
Now, if the commissioners were to have a change of heart, would the potential buyer be willing to continue his interest?
I spoke to him just before Christmas was the last time I spoke to him, and I know he's still interested in it. He's very interested. He's not walked away from the offer.
Now, there is, of course, the added issue of the people still living in camper vans on the site by means of, I think it's a 12-month licensing agreement with the liquidated company. How do you feel that could be resolved based on the commissioner's view? It seems that they've been occupying the site in breach of planning regulations.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be something of a grey area that obviously there seems to be this disagreement on the planning permission situation. Clearly, the problem I've got is if I just move the tenants out, they've paid in advance for a period of time, they would have a claim against them, the liquidation, which would just increase the losses that they've paid for in advance. So actually the offer that was on the table included a situation which would enable campervan tenants to remain in situ until their original rental agreement expired at no further cost to them. And then obviously the new provider, the new company, the new entity would then deal with that situation going forward. And they've even agreed that they would talk about the creation of a new lease between the intended buyer and the commissioners, which could deal with that issue. If there is this grey area regarding campervans, it could be resolved with negotiations over a new lease.
That is Craig Mitchell there, and we have asked Port Erin commissioners for comment. Now, the TT's announced this year's official charity partner. It's chosen to highlight the Great North Air Ambulance for the next 12 months. It's a second year of the TT's charity programme. CEO of GNAS, Joe Garcia, and Manx TT competitor Connor Cummins have been talking to Amy.
For the Great North Air Ambulance Service, this is a fantastic opportunity. It makes us really proud to be able to represent not only helicopter emergency medical services, but the association that our charities have with motorcyclists. Unfortunately, over 33% of the incidents we attend that are road accident collisions involve motorcycles. So being here representing our service in association with a fantastic internationally renowned motorcycling event is just absolutely fabulous. Here, particularly on the Isle of Man, we are effectively the lifeline that crosses the waves to support not only the population and community on the island, but also those motorcyclists that might need us when we're here.
And what difference are you hoping it's going to make? I mean, how much of a financial impact are you hoping it's going to have being named the Charity of the Year?
We have high hopes that this will be a fantastic opportunity for us to raise income, effectively it being a big injection of funds into the charity. We are aiming to, or we're in the process of replacing our helicopter fleet so that we can offer extended services to the communities that we provide. So we're hopeful that this opportunity will be a really significant funding opportunity for us.
I think it's a brilliant thing, a great achievement for both parties, for GNAS to be associated with the TT and vice versa. It brings a lot of strength to both parties, I think, so it provides that link between the Isle of Man and the mainland for whenever someone is injured and needs to get off the Isle of Man, so it's great.
And of course, helicopter response and the TT unfortunately do go hand in hand, because that is one of the risks of the TT. You yourself have experienced that firsthand, yeah. Haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know how important these services are. So from my first TT that I completed myself in 2006 to today, I've seen such a transformation from the event side alone. But obviously with the whole medical services on the whole, again, it's such an improvement. And it brings a lot of strength to the TT.
That is TT competitor Connor Cummins. Before that, we heard Joe Garcia from GNAS. Now, as the cold, dark winter days close in, a growing number of people are affected by a condition known as SAD, or seasonal affective disorder. It has a number of symptoms, and Simon has more details.
The exact cause of SAD isn't fully understood, but it's often linked to reduced exposure to sunlight during the shorter autumn and winter days. Places like the Isle of Man, where gloomy days can continue for long periods, tend to have a greater number of people who suffer from the condition. Deanna Douglas is a director of Isle of Man Samaritans.
There's lots of things that people can do for themselves. They can reach out, they can spend time with loved ones, talk about their feelings, etc. Or you just find your own balance, take some time to relax, set yourself some goals, and don't be hard on yourself. It will pass. It's a season and it will pass and brighter days will be here. And set yourself some goals to look forward to for the future. Set yourself weekly goals that you're going to do something, you're going to achieve something, you're going to go for a cup of coffee with somebody, and be kind to yourself. Take time for yourself to enjoy things that you enjoy doing, or revisit a hobby that you enjoyed doing in the past. It doesn't need to be expensive. It doesn't need to be energetic. I mean, we live on a beautiful island. The sun is actually shining now. 10 minutes outside, sat on a bench, watching the world go by. You know, that gives you that kind of human contact. It gives you that sense of belonging.
So the message is that if you suffer from seasonal affective disorder, you don't have to deal with the depression alone. There is help out there.
Simon Richardson reporting. 26 minutes past five. Update Sport is brought to you by The Print Shed. And here's Darren.
Fast am I. A new mixed league has been launched by the Isle of Man Netball today. Called the Performance League, it's made up of 37 players from both the island's women's and men's national squads. Four teams will compete for the title: Celtic Coast Lightning, Man and Magic, Manx Mavericks and Van and Vipers. The competition will take place over a number of weekends, starting on the 24th of January. It'll then take place on the 31st, the 28th of February and the 7th of March, and the 4th and 18th of April. Rhiann Evans is set to captain Lightning, Ashley Hall will lead Magic, Rachel Johnson will take charge of the Mavericks, and the Vipers will be skippered by Paige Macquarie. On to athletics, and Isle of Man's Ollie Lockley ran a new personal best in Spain over the weekend. Competing in a 10-kilometre event in Valencia, Lockley crossed the line in 28 minutes and 34 seconds. It's the first time the islander has crossed the finish line in under 29 minutes. Over 17,000 competitors took part in the event, with Lockley placing 69th in the men's category. And do you want to play a key role in road racing on the island? Applications have opened for anyone looking to marshal the 2026 Southern 100 and Pre-TT Classic. The Marshals Association says experience isn't needed and training will be provided for the Balaun course events. The pre-TT will take place from the 22nd to 24th of May this year, followed by the Southern 100 from the 6th to the 9th of July. Marshals must be 16 or over, and those aged between 16 and 18 must have parental consent for each race event. You can find a link to the application form via manxradio.com.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. That is all from Update this evening. Coming up next, it's Spotlight, and at 6 p.m. then it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinney. We'll be back tomorrow.